Then had to do it. Thank you. Thank you all for being here this morning. Great to have you with us. We are starting a brand new message series, and for those of you who are newer to Hope Community Church, this is what we do. Essentially, we take a topic and we talk about it for a number of weeks until you're sick of hearing about it, until I'm sick of talking about it, whichever happens first. And so we're starting this new series that we're calling Reset, and on the back of your bulletin, you can see some information about this message series and what we're attempting to do and accomplish in this message series. And essentially, we are about to make this big move, moving out of this space and moving into a building of our own, which is a big deal, and we're very excited about that. In fact, it's this Friday that we sign the paperwork and make it official. How about that? Woo! Big deal. Yes. And so we want to use this as an opportunity to evaluate who we are as a church, where we're strong, where we need to improve on some things, and really make this a grand reopening of sorts. And so we're evaluating some stuff. We're taking a look at our calendar, taking a look at our ministries, and seeing how can we be better at being who we are, right? So that's what we're going for at Hope. We're going for the ideal. We didn't set out just to be an okay church, right? What kind of goal is that? We want to be a so-and-so church. No, we want to work toward that ideal. We're never going to reach it, but we're going to work toward that ideal of what Christ meant when he talked about church. This is who we are and what we're supposed to be about. And so that's what this series is about. And these first two messages in this series, I'm going to give you this heads up, they're really about consumerism and a consumer mentality and consumer expectations, and how those consumer expectations have bled their way into how so many Christians think about church. And it's happened just because of the world that we live in. It's a byproduct of the world that we live in. Our world, here in the United States of America, our culture is so consumer-driven, and we have very high expectations as consumers. We want what we want, and we want it now, right? We want it now, right? That's just how we are as consumers. And things have changed over the decades. It didn't used to be like that, right? Now, a lot of us in this room, we live back in the BI era. Do you remember the BI, before internet era, right? Do you remember that? The dark ages, right? Can you even imagine a world without the internet? It's like ancient, right? It was so strange, right? And so back in those days, if you wanted to buy something, you had to go to a store, right? That's what it's called. You had to go to a store and buy it, or you could use a catalog and send away for something. Do you remember that? You could call too, right? Use your phone. Wow, dark times, right? Isn't that crazy? Listen, guys, I'm not that old, but that's how it was in my childhood. If you wanted to buy something, you had to do these things. I remember in our household, in the Schaefer household, we used to get a catalog called the Johnson Smith Catalog. It was things you never knew existed and other items you couldn't possibly live without. Nobody remembers that, the Johnson Smith catalog? Okay, all right, you remember? Okay, one person, great, I can deal with that. But it was a bunch of stuff, it was a lot of novelty items, like as seen on TV type, you know, junk, last seen on TV stuff. But they had a little section, one section of one page that was dedicated to pranks, jokes, you know, your fake vomit, your hand buzzers, snapping gum, stuff like that, you know, essentials, right? And so they had this deal back, this is like the 80s, back in the day. And so if you chose three of those items, you had to choose three. If you chose three, they were 99 cents a piece. And so I remember getting that catalog, looking at the joke items, trying to find some money so I could buy this stuff, right? This is back in the day when kids didn't have money. Why do kids have money now? Where are they getting this money from? When I was a kid, I had no money. None of my friends had money. I'm like scrounging around for nickels and dimes, and then you get the money, and then I have to give it to my parents so they could write a paper check. You ever hear of checks? They had to write a paper check and send away for my vague vomit and my whoopee cushion and my hand buzzer, right? And then the waiting began. 6 to 8 weeks. 6 to 8 weeks, right? And so I remember coming home from elementary school, walking home, and it was like at that six-week mark, and I'm thinking, maybe it's hitting, maybe today, and I go, oh, Mom, did it come today? No, not today. Walking home, in fact, I remember walking home, and on my street, I saw the UPS guy, and he said, hey, I'm Josh Schaefer, you got anything for me? He's like, I don't know. He's like, right? And closer to that eight-week mark, it got there, and you open it up, and you got your fake vomit, you got your hand buzzer, you got your whoopee cushion, you're set for life, right? It was great. What a wonderful, wonderful, weird time it was, right? Flash forward to about a month ago. Holly and I ordered a few items for Christmas over Amazon, and two-day shipping with Prime, right? Prime's that free shipping that you pay for in advance. How is that free? Anyway, two-day, and one of those items, I don't even remember what it was, we got a notification. Hey, we got a whoopee cushion right here. I got to point that out. Hey, man after my own heart. There's one in every crowd, right? How about that? Thank you, Daniel. So we ordered some stuff from Amazon. 2-day shipping, right? And we got a notice. One of the things we ordered, don't even remember what, one of the things was going to be delayed by a day. Are you kidding me? I got to wait 3 days to get what I ordered, right? Because my expectations now have gone up as a consumer. I want what I want, and I want it now, right? That's just how it is. Our expectations have gone up like that. These consumer mentality, consumer expectations have increased, but the dangerous thing is when that mentality and when those expectations bleed into other areas of our life, like education. You can't just get an education like that. It takes time to build these things and accrue that knowledge and accrue that experience, you know? Or like the job world, the career world, if you start, you got to start at the bottom and climb your way up. A lot of people want to start at the top and work their way sideways, right? No, you got these things take time. And even things like relationships, romantic relationships. You know, back in my day, we didn't, you know, when I was single and dating, that part of that whole world, we didn't have like the apps and all that stuff. And now there are lots of dating apps that are out there. And dating apps are fine, but there's also the, you know, the hookup apps, right? The hookup apps. By the way, isn't it weird when someone over 30 uses the word hookup? That's just creepy. It's just wrong, right? It is wrong, isn't it? Could you not say that again? Okay. But you know the kind of thing I'm talking about. We just want to get right to the, you know. So you got these things. Like, well, that's not how life works. Relationships and intimacy takes time to build. And some of that consumer mentality, those consumer expectations have bled their way into the church. How so many of us Christians, so many people who self-identify as Christians, we start to think of our churches in that consumer mindset, that consumer mentality. We have those consumer expectations. We want what we want, and we don't want to wait for it. We want what we want from our local church, and we want it now. We want the full package deal, the fully baked product with all the bells and whistles. And we want to show up to that thing on the Sunday morning, and we want to see a nice state-of-the-art facility, and we want to see the professional musicians, like a team of paid musicians up there doing what they do, and the smoke machines and the fog and the big screens, and we want the programs for the kids already fully formed. We want all this stuff, and we don't want to have to participate. We just want what we want, and we want it now. That fully baked product, the country club experience from our churches. So many Christians want that, have that consumer mindset toward church. And it's not great. It's not healthy. Because in the midst of all these things that we want in our local church, we might be missing the one thing or the few things that we really need from a local church. You know, I'm getting very reflective about our time as a church as we're about to make this move. I'm thinking about our long history of 7 years here and all that has happened over those years. And for so many of those years, we just haven't had so many of those elements that Christian people might want. We just haven't had these things. I mean, yeah, we're about to move into this building, but for the longest time, we haven't had a building. And that's, by the way, that's something I never promised anyone. Right? If you go back, I never said that was part of our plan for sure, but here we are. God has blessed us with it, and that's great, but we haven't had that for a long time. We haven't had a space that we could customize and build children's classrooms and build, you know, proper restrooms. Have you ever used the restroom here? My goodness gracious. But like build these. We haven't had that. Pee before you go. That's the motto when it comes to the Barnstormer State, all right? You better go to the bathroom now because I'm not going there. Anyway, we just haven't had these things for the longest time, right? In our early days, we didn't have any musicians. There was a season where it was like a CD player. Some of you remember this. CD player and one brave dude standing up singing along with it, right? And that wasn't enough for some people. And I get it. It's not what we're used to and all that. So many things we didn't have. It took us a while to figure out, you know, nursery care and children's ministry. We just didn't have these. We didn't have some of these pieces in place. We didn't even have like a professional experienced speaker. Some would say that we still don't, right? You know what I mean? I'd preached before, but I'd never been the main preacher, and here I am. Okay, this is my job now. And so, you know, people just had expectations, things that we didn't really have. And some of those things we still don't have. And some of those things that people might want, we'll never have. But there are a few things that we've always had, like Jesus, right? The gospel. We've always had the gospel. We've always had the message of what Jesus has done for us, that he gave up his life on the cross for us. He's presented us with this gift to accept him as our Savior, to receive it. We've always had the gospel, to receive him as Savior, to receive eternal life. We've always had that. We've always had love. And I don't mean that kind of mushy-gushy feeling. I'm talking about we've always cared about one another and cared about our communities and cared about our neighbors. We've always had love. We've always had opportunities to serve one another and to serve our community. In fact, our very first Sunday as a church was a service project. We didn't meet. We didn't sing songs. There was nobody preaching. We just went and we served, right? So we've always had those things, and I think that maybe you would agree that those are the things that really are essential to what it means to be a local church. We've had those things, and we always will have those things, no matter what happens, no matter where we meet or what space we're in. We'll always have those essentials. Take a look at the scripture passage in your bulletin that Kelly read for us this morning, and you can see this is to some degree a transitional thing. This is from the Gospel of Matthew. All right, we'll begin our study of Matthew tomorrow night for those of you participating. This is his writing. This is his writing down. It's his biography of the life of Jesus. And he's writing about this time, and things are gaining momentum. Jesus is really starting. He's starting a movement here. And he's healing people, the scripture tells us. And he's preaching good news about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And so people are going out to him. They want to hear his teaching, and they want to be healed. Of course, if you were sick and there's a healer in town, you would want to go out to him. And so literally tells us that crowds just start to form and follow him, right? And that's a strange thing for us because we've never seen anything like that, right? You've never just been walking down the street and, oh, I'm going to follow that guy. That's what happened. They just started to follow him. And so this is one of these passages here in Scripture that we just might want to, you read through and let's get to the meat. Because what we have here is right after verse 2 of chapter 5 there, right after that is when we get into the Sermon on the Mountain. That's the teaching time, right? And that's the point where we learn what Jesus had to say, and that's fantastic. But look at the stuff that led up to that. What did you have? You had a guy, just so happened to be the Son of God. You had Jesus, a healer, a teacher. There he is. A momentum starts. A crowd gathers, and so they look around, say, all right, everybody have a seat. Where are we supposed to sit? Just wherever, sit on the mountainside. We're just going to sit on this mountain. We don't have any chairs, no pews, no nothing. No, just find a seat. What about nursery care, Jesus? We understand you're about to give a teaching. Do you have a nursery program? Because there's going to be kids here, and we don't want to hear the kids crying while you're trying. No, I don't. Figure it out. What about bathrooms, Jesus? Do we have any bathrooms? Or what about children's church? Or no. They had Jesus. And we read, if you read the Sermon on the Mountain, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if you read what Jesus had to say, it's wonderful us to just sit and read these, but you have to think, what was that like when he actually spoke those words? What if you were in the, sitting in the back? What's he saying, right? Sit next to a kid with a dirty diaper, sit next to a kid that's crying, or whatever it is, sit next to kids that are tugging on your clothes or whatever. This was a real thing that really happened. And Jesus wasn't interested in trying to, let me facilitate a perfect experience for everyone. No, he just was Jesus. He gave his teaching. He shared the truth with people. And he was enough. Jesus was enough. And he's still enough for us. He's still enough. Listen, when it comes to your Amazon purchases, you can go ahead, have a consumer mindset, have consumer expectations, and if they delay your shipping, you can go ahead and send them an email, you can complain, you can do that, right? When it comes to the services that you're paying for, somebody coming to your house and they're doing a job, you go ahead, have your consumer expectations, that's fine, but when it comes to the church, it's not healthy to have those kind of expectations because the church is, and we're going to talk about this more next week, it's a collective of people. We're all in it together. We are the ones that make the ministries and the programs and the stuff and the buildings. We are the ones that make it happen. So let's watch out and not have those consumer expectations when it comes, or a consumer mindset when it comes to being and participating in a local church. We have to stay flexible. We have to just continue to roll with it. And here's something that I love about you as a congregation. Your willingness to roll with it. And you have demonstrated that time and time again over the years, right? There have been Sunday mornings when you've come and it's like, uh-oh, heat's not working. Let's figure this out. I guess we'll wear our coats, right? I guess we'll roll some space heaters out. Uh-oh, We blew a fuse. Okay, what are we going to do now, right? You come in on a Sunday morning and there's a big goofy set on the stage. I guess we'll figure out a way. We'll work around it. We'll just roll with it, right? We just roll with it. There have been Sunday mornings I can remember where we had so much to do in the morning. There was a big mess at the theater and people are walking in and we're not ready for them. It's like, oh, grab a chair, help us set up, I guess, right? Roll with it, roll with it, roll with it. We've been able to do that. And the people that haven't really been able or willing or interested in rolling with it, they're not with us anymore, right? So you've proven that adaptability and that flexibility, and we need to hold on to that, especially during this time. This is a big transition for us as a church. We are in it. It's not, oh, it's happened. No, it's about to happen in the future. No, we're in it now, and we need to stay patient and flexible and just roll with it. And there are a lot of big details that we have figured out, but there's still some stuff we're figuring out. Okay, how are we going to take care of this? I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. That's been my phrase recently. We'll figure it out, right? And that's true. We will figure all the details out eventually. But we're in this time of transition, and we need to stay flexible. We need to stay adaptable. We need to keep on rolling with it. Let me tell you something about that quality of being flexible and adaptable and able to roll with things. That quality in a church, in a collective, that's appealing. That's attractive to people outside of the Christian community. When they see us, when they see a collective, a group of people that are willing to just roll with it, okay, what's happening? There's some cigarette butts out front. Okay, we'll clean them up. All right, there's some empty beer cans outside of the theater. We'll clean them up. All right, we don't have heat. All right, we'll make do. When they see a group of people that are flexible and willing to roll with things, that's compelling. That's attractive. What's going on there, right? And the opposite is true. When a group of people, when they have those high consumeristic expectations, have you been to churches like this where they just come across kind of snobby? You know what I mean? Now, I'm trying not to go negative, but I'm also trying to be honest. You know the snobby thing where a church is like, well, it's got to be this way, and it's got to start at this time, and it's got to end at this time, and there can't be any kids, and there can't be any crying. And I've been in churches where there have been all kinds of complaints about all kinds of ridiculous things, you know? New Testament tells us not to grumble, and like, I don't know, maybe a lot of Christians just cut that part out of their Bible because we like to grumble. A lot of us Christians are grumbling, grumbling, grumbling. There was a kid that cried during church. Yeah, kids cry, all right? Sometimes adults do too, okay? Crying happens. Sorry, we can't make a perfect experience for you. No, when you're a part of that kind of thing, when you see that, that's not attractive. We're not drawn to that. But to see a group of people who have something in common, something like, I don't know, essential like Jesus, and are willing to roll with whatever else comes along, that's attractive. That's appealing. They're drawn to that. So we've got to stay flexible. And here I am, about to move into this building, and I find myself with certain concerns, maybe even fears. I'm afraid that maybe expectations will change. And I'm just here to tell you, if you're waiting for us to get established, don't hold your breath, right? We're still going to be us, just meeting in a different space, okay? We're still going to have things that we figure out. We're still going to have to be flexible and roll with things. There's still going to be a whole lot to figure out. And I thank you for your willingness to be a part of this whole thing. And so part of me feels like this is a really easy sermon to preach because I'm preaching to the choir, as the expression goes. You already know this stuff. This is just preventative care right now, right? Let's keep rolling with it. And we're going to move into that space. And guess what? When we move in there, you will have a place to sit. Maybe not as comfortable as what you're sitting on right now, but give us time. Give us time and we'll work on that. And when we move in there, we're going to have places for the kids to have nursery and children's church. Better than what they have now, but give us time and we'll make them even better places, right? All these things. There's bathrooms over there. Praise God. I know, right? Still pee before you go. But there's bathrooms over there and they're okay. But give us time and we'll make them better. Let's keep flexing, keep rolling with it. This kind of thing is attractive. I don't know if we'll ever fully get our act together. I don't know if we'll ever fully be established. I don't even know what that means. In fact, there's a part of me that's afraid of that. I'm afraid that being established is the beginning of the end, right? Let's just keep growing, keep expanding, keep doing these things. So I don't know exactly what the future holds, but I know that whatever the future holds will always have the essentials. We'll always have Jesus. We'll always have the gospel. We'll always have love. And we'll always have opportunities to love and serve one another. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for all the ways that you have blessed us and continue to bless our families, bless us as individuals, and bless this church. And Lord, only you know the future. And when we set out to do this whole church thing so many years ago, you knew what was in store for us. You had the path all laid out for us. And you've continued to reveal your plan to us one piece at a time. And we just pray over our present. We pray over this transition time. And we pray over our future. We pray that we would not lose focus of the main thing, that we would keep our focus on you, Jesus, and on the gospel. Father God, I thank you for this group of people, this collective that have been willing to roll with it. And I pray that you would give us all the ability to continue to adapt and be flexible, focusing on you, loving you, and loving one another. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.